"Well, with feet that size, hard not to," said a drawling voice from behind them. Harry, Ron, and Hermione turned sharply. Draco Malfoy was standing alone nearby them, leaning against a tree, looking utterly relaxed. His arms folded, he seemed to have been watching the scene on the campsite through a gap in the trees. Ron told Malfoy to do something that Harry knew he would never have dared say in front of Mrs. Weasley.
"Language, Weasley," said Malfoy, his pale eyes glittering. "Hadn't you better be hurrying along now? You wouldn't like her spotted, would you?"
He nodded at Hermione, and at the same moment a blast like a bomb sounded from the campsite, and a flash of green light momentarily lit the trees around them.
"What's that supposed to mean?" said Hermione, defiantly.
"Granger, they're after Muggles," said Malfoy.
"Do you want to be showing off your knickers in mid-air? Because if you do hang around, they're moving this way, and it would give us all a laugh."
"Hermione's a witch!" Harry snarled.
"Have it your own way, Potter," said Malfoy, grinning maliciously. "If you think they can't spot a mudblood, stay where you are."
"You watch your mouth!" shouted Ron.
Everybody present knew that mudblood was a very offensive term for a witch or wizard of Muggle parentage.
"Never mind, Ron," said Hermione quickly, seizing Ron's arm to restrain him as he took a step towards Malfoy.
There came a bang from the other side of the trees that was louder than anything they had heard. Several people nearby screamed. Malfoy chuckled softly.
"Scare easily, don't they?" he said lazily.
"I suppose your daddy told you all to hide. What's he up to, trying to rescue the Muggles?"
"Where are your parents?" said Harry, his temper rising. "Out there wearing masks, are they?"
Malfoy turned his face to Harry, still smiling.
"Well, if they were, I wouldn't be likely to tell you, would I, Potter?"
"Oh, come on," said Hermione, with a disgusted look at Malfoy. "Let's go and find the others."
"Keep that big bushy head down, Granger," sneered Malfoy.
"Come on," Hermione repeated, and she pulled Harry and Ron off up the path again. "I'll bet you anything his dad is one of that masked lot," said Ron hotly.
"Well, with any luck, the Ministry will catch him," said Hermione fervently.
"Oh, I can't believe this. Where have the others got to?"
Fred, George, and Ginny were nowhere to be seen, though the path was packed with plenty of other people, all of them looking nervously over their shoulders towards the commotion back at the campsite. A huddle of teenagers in pyjamas was arguing vociferously a little way along the path. When they saw Harry, Ron, and Hermione, a girl with thick, curly hair turned and said quickly,
"Où est Madame Maxime? Nous l'avons perdue."
What?" said Ron.
"Oh."
The girl who had spoken turned her back on him, and as they walked on, they distinctly heard her say,
"Hogwarts."
"Beaubaton," muttered Hermione.
"Sorry," said Harry.
"They must go to Beaubaton," said Hermione.
"You know, Beaubaton Academy of Magic. I read about it in An Appraisal of Magical Education in Europe."
"Oh, yeah, right," said Harry.
"Fred and George can't have gone that far," said Ron, pulling out his wand, lighting it like Hermione, and squinting up the path.
Harry dug in the pockets of his jacket for his own wand, but it wasn't there. The only things he could find were his omnioculars.
"Ah, no, I don't believe it. I've lost my wand."
"You're kidding."
Ron and Hermione raised their wands high enough to spread the narrow beams of light further on the ground. Harry looked all around him, but his wand was nowhere to be seen.
"Maybe it's back in the tent," said Ron. "Maybe it fell out of your pocket when we were running," Hermione suggested anxiously.
"Yeah," said Harry, "maybe." He usually kept his wand with him at all times in the wizarding world, and finding himself without it in the midst of a scene like this made him feel very vulnerable. A rustling noise made all three of them jump. Winky, the house elf, was fighting her way out of a clump of bushes nearby. She was moving in a most peculiar fashion, apparently with great difficulty. It was as though someone invisible was trying to hold her back.
"There is bad wizards about,"
she squeaked distractedly, as she leant forwards and laboured to keep running.
"People high, high in the air. Winky is getting out of the way."
and she disappeared into the trees on the other side of the path, panting and squeaking as she fought the force that was restraining her. "What's up with her?" said Ron, looking curiously after Winky. "Why can't she run properly?" "Bet she didn't ask permission to hide," said Harry. He was thinking of Dobby. Every time he had tried to do something the Malfoys wouldn't like, he had been forced to start beating himself up. "You know, house elves get a very raw deal," said Hermione indignantly. "It's slavery, that's what it is. That Mr. Crouch made her go up to the top of the stadium, and she was terrified, and he's got her bewitched so she can't even run when they start trampling tents. Why doesn't anyone do something about it?"
"Well, the elves are happy, aren't they?" Ron said. "You heard old Winky back at the match. House elves is not supposed to have fun. That's what she likes, being bossed around."
"It's people like you, Ron," Hermione began hotly, "who prop up rotten and unjust systems just because they're too lazy to—"
Another loud bang echoed from the edge of the wood.
"Let's just keep moving, shall we?" said Ron, and Harry saw him glance edgily at Hermione. Perhaps there was truth in what Malfoy had said. Perhaps Hermione was in more danger than they were. They set off again, Harry still searching his pockets, even though he knew his wand wasn't there. They followed the dark path deeper into the wood, still keeping an eye out for Fred, George, and Ginny. They passed a group of goblins who were cackling over a sack of gold they had undoubtedly won betting on the match, and who seemed quite unperturbed by the trouble on the campsite. Further still along the path, they walked into a patch of silvery light, and when they looked through the trees, they saw three tall and beautiful vila standing in a clearing, surrounded by a gaggle of young wizards, all of whom were talking very loudly.
"I pull down about 100 sacks of galleons a year," one of them shouted. "I'm a dragon killer for the Committee of the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures."
"No, you're not," yelled his friend. "You're a dishwasher at the Leaky Cauldron, but I'm a vampire hunter. I've killed about 90 so far."
A third young wizard, whose pimples were visible even by the dim, silvery light of the vila, now cut in.
"I'm about to become the youngest ever Minister for Magic, I am."
Harry snorted with laughter. He recognised the pimply wizard. His name was Stan Shunpike, and he was in fact a conductor on the triple-decker night bus. He turned to tell Ron this, but Ron's face had gone oddly slack. And the next second Ron was yelling,
"Did I tell you I've invented a broomstick that'll reach Jupiter?"
"Honestly," said Hermione again, and she and Harry grabbed Ron firmly by the arms, wheeled him around, and marched him away. By the time the sounds of the vila and their admirers had faded completely, they were in the very heart of the wood. They seemed to be alone now. Everything was much quieter.